Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to your daily dose of Gozo, Jamba Juice for the Soul, Gozo TV, a trick podcast of joy here on this amazing Tuesday, November 27, 2018. How are you? My dear friend, talking to you today about my vision for a new kind of church, a new kind of church. So, I'm one who is a church, investigator or someone who analyzes the church a lot. First, because it's my passion, it's my calling, it's something that I love, that I love the body of Christ, I love the church. But at the same time, I have seen the decline of the church in attendance, in terms of interest, in terms of having a voice at the table. And then I've also seen the abuses and how the church has been in many ways politicized, seen as an alt-right, pro a lot of bad things, I guess, movement. And many people, what they now call the nuns and the duns, meaning people that are done with church or people that identify as going to none of the churches, you have a growing population. Some say as high as 25% of the population are now nuns and duns. Just think of your own life. Think of your neighbor's life. Think of your kid's life. Think of anyone under 30, over 30, over 40, over 50. Maybe the older generation is still faithful and committed because of how they grew up and tradition and their memories. But if you're talking about the modern day person, for example, my neighbors across the street, they're in their mid-20s. Some are in their 60s. Some are in their mid-40s, like myself. I would say out of the, maybe 50 houses here in my block, 40 homes, I would venture to say that there are maybe two families that go to church consistently, us and one more. And that is just typical. That is just what happens. And not that people aren't going to church, some are, but this is an obvious problem. Now, I don't know exactly how God is going to revive his church. It is something that I pray for all the time. It is something that I long for in my own life, in my own church, in my own neighborhood and city. But what I do have is a very, I guess, just an honest understanding of people's pain and people's needs. That's the irony, I think, is that even though no one goes to church, everyone's going to the therapist or going to the bottle or going to the clinic to get medication or going to Amazon Prime or Amazon to buy their way out of their pain. And so just because people aren't going to church or to God, it doesn't mean that they don't have need and they don't have problems and issues that they're dealing with. And that is maybe what I want to talk about more than anything is how are we going to meet the needs of people? If indeed God has anointed us, Isaiah 61 says that he has anointed us to preach good news and set captives free and to bring about the day of Jubilee, meaning joy and gozo, as we call it here, then why isn't that happening? And so there are two assumptions that I have. One is that people need help. And then second, that we as people of God, people that are spiritual, people that are enlightened, people that are awakened, people that have love, most of all, are supposed to help. And then maybe third is that the church as an entity or as an organization, I would say it's really irrelevant to this whole conversation. I don't mean the gospel. I don't mean the people of God. I mean the institution and the things that we hold on to. It's an irrelevant thing to talk about because it no longer matters. People just don't care about your programs or your churches or your buildings. We have to keep the spirit of Christ alive. And as I said, the love for people alive. But we have to be willing to basically start from scratch. So I want to start with some of the current and modern day rappers. I want to actually talk about rap and hip hop. I'm not a hip-hop artist, obviously, and I did not grow up with a ton of hip-hop, mostly because I'm an 80s kid, and Run DMC and the Fresh Prince and N.W.A. and some of the Straight Outta Compton. We grew up in the beginnings of rap with Snoop Dogg and eventually Eminem and some of the maybe bigger guys such as Tupac. And so, and I mean, I grew up in Long Beach, California. I grew up in the on the wrong part of town, you could say. It was just average, but it wasn't Beverly Hills, of course. And by no means am I saying that I grew up in some sort of, I don't know, gang-infested school or neighborhood. But regardless, just being in Long Beach in general as a Latino boy in the 80s, I obviously was exposed and aware of what was going on, even though I was a good, quote, Christian boy. And so, but regardless, because of my love for music, I have always been interested in hip-hop as well as in pop music, etc. Now, I would say the last few years, I've been more interested in hip-hop as a way maybe to express or to not even express, but to understand what young people are experiencing and what they're feeling and what they're going through and who they follow. Obviously, music has always been an expression of youth and of young angst and of the longings and desires of the youth. And sadly, I mean, most of hip hop is your typical, and I'm not going to say the words, but you know what it's not gangster rap. It's about the other stuff. Women and money and fame and excess. So in many ways, rap, hip hop these days it's not inspiring anybody towards helping the poor or living for God, obviously. And I'm not one to subscribe to, oh, let's do Christian rap. I think that is fine, but I don't see that as the answer. But my interest in hip hop is more in what these young people. I was watching an interview with 6ix9ine, and you may or may not know of him. I didn't really. I mean, I kind of heard about him, but I've been listening to him or interviews with him because I think he either just went to jail for life or he could go to prison for life, and he's a 22-year-old Latino young rapper who's got a lot of skills. Flamboyant, he's got the rainbow colored hair and grills, and meaning his teeth, and of course all the usual women stuff and drugs and guns and shootings and rape, and I shouldn't say usual, I don't mean it that way, I just mean that is a part of his story, unfortunately. And so now he's in jail, or I think he could go to prison for life. 22-year-old young man. His dad is Puerto Rican, his mom is Mexican, and he was born in Brooklyn, New York, 22 years ago. And so then you think of Mac Miller, another incredible young rapper. I think he was 26, 27, and he just ended his life, or drug overdose, however you want to call that, just a few months ago. And I was a big fan, and a lot of young people, including people that I know at my church and friends of mine of that age group, 20s and 30s, were huge fans of his music. And so, and then you have, going back to even, and of course, Kurt Cobain, but that was more in the 90s and his death. And then just things with, suicide and mental health, and then Demi Lovato, I think it was, or was it Selena, or both? But I think it was Demi Lovato, and that is in the hospital right now, or was, because of depression, anxiety. And so my point is that music these days is not just about the money and the sex and the women and the cars and the pool parties. It's got this more of a loneliness, mental health, depression and suicide undercurrent to it. It's not gang life. I mean, 69 apparently, or 6ix9ine, apparently he was more involved with gangs and such. But it seems like to me that the current hip hop music or lyrics or is expressing a certain kind of loneliness. For example, this young man, 6ix9ine. It is said of him, or I mean, the truth is that his his father was shot in front of him. I don't know how long ago. And he's a very open young man. That's the other thing that I love about these young people. They're very whole, meaning they talk about every part of their lives. They're not just trying to talk about their fame or their money. They'll talk about, like this young man, about his dad getting shot in front of him. I don't know why or how, and then how that affected him. And that because of that, he got in trouble in school and never finished high school and then started writing lyrics and et cetera. And so now, you look at that, right? And maybe if you're older like me, you think, oh, that's just in the news. No, it's not in the news. That's the person in your pew. And that's the thing that to me is the most interesting, is that in many ways, these young people are expressing the very concerns and issues that your teen deals with, or your 20-something deals with. Of course, not maybe in the same way, not expressing their angst in the same ways, but the angst of loneliness, sadness, loss, longing, how fame doesn't make you famous, or fame doesn't make you happy. How those things are exactly what young people are feeling today. Even if they are your church leaders, your youth leaders, your counselors. I mean, that's what people are dealing with, young people. And because many of these young people live at home because of finances and relationship and support and all those things, their concerns and their needs are very real, and we see them every day. And I would say maybe another factor is that some of them, and this is maybe more in my life or in people in relationships that I have now, these are young people that like church. Now, of course, I just said that most don't, but there are some that I know, that I see, that do want to go to church, that want their experience with God to be real, to be a big part of their lives. And maybe that comes from the whole spiritual but not religious movement or all of that stuff. Now, a second factor that I see, besides how music and hip hop especially reflects the needs of our young people, besides that point, I think the second point that is very important, and I think this cuts across the board to all ages and all races and all kinds of people, is the huge disconnect between what people's lives are really like and what the church talks about and does. There's a huge gap between the stories that I hear every day that people deal with, the things that people deal with, and what the church talks about, what the church does as its ministries, as its values, DNA, etc. And I see that because it seems as if the gospel is broken to most people. I don't mean that Jesus is broken. I don't mean that the Bible isn't true. So hear me on this. But it seems that to most people, regardless of age and color and all that stuff, socioeconomics, like the gospel's broken. Like they're hearing the right things. They know that God is good. They read the Bible or hear a sermon. They maybe are even in a Bible study or helping in some way. And yet their lives remain the same. Anger is growing. Violence is growing. Sadness, loneliness, anxiety, depression, fear, shame, all of the things, brokenness, vulnerability, alcoholism, perhaps more for men, pornography, addiction, sexual addictions, online dating and all that can go bad with that, promiscuity, a lack, anxiety, of course, back to anxiety, a lack of direction. And I think we all know that. We all feel it. I feel it. I don't think I've ever been to a church where I felt like they were speaking to my need. Now, I'll take that back. The only time that I actually felt that a church event was speaking to my needs, you know what it was? It's when I was leading worship at an AA recovery meeting. And at this church, like in many Christian churches, they call it Celebrate Recovery. And even though I'm not an alcoholic, the way that those events were made and how they talked and the themes of topics were so honest. they were talking about addictions, about alcohol and drugs and sex addiction. And I would always raise my hand because I knew when it comes to anxiety that I had or have an addiction to anxiety or to maybe overfeeling or being worried or worrying or things like that. So, but apart from that, and that was a Friday night, kind of tucked in the corner of the church and not something that the church, I don't know, what was maybe advertising as much as their Easter services. Even though it was that way, I felt so understood. I thought, why isn't this mainstream, this kind of church? And so that gap between good people that go to church and their real lives is huge. And so my second, I guess, idea is to do something about that. So my two thoughts are, one, this is maybe more practical now, is we need to be using hip-hop music, current events, as a way to connect and to reach the heart of a young person and their parents, as I said, because it's both and. We need to think of what we call application as more than just trying to throw something out there that a young person will relate to, such as, I don't know, school debt or college applications. I think we need to go deeper than that. And I don't believe, at least in our church, which is a small church, that this is just for the youth group or on Youth Sunday or on a Tuesday night in the high school room. I don't think this is that. I think this has to be center stage. I think that we need to build churches. The next church, the future of the church, needs to be built around current events that speak to and about and of the needs of the people. And to use those examples, good and bad, to reach the heart of young people. Because that's what they're listening to. That's what they're feeling. And then to bring the hope of Jesus into that. You know, one of the things that Rochelle, my wife, and I talk about all the time is how to lead young women. My wife has a Bible study with young girls on Wednesday nights. They're women. They're single moms. Some of them are just maybe 20-somethings, 30-somethings. So I don't mean little girls. And when she and I talk about how to minister, how to help these young ladies, we don't say, oh, we need to use Beth Moore's Bible study. We don't talk about, you know, we should use the King James, not the NIV. Those are things that nobody cares about except traditional people. And I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying this is the reality of life. What we talk about is, how do we keep this real? How do we bring Jesus, in a way that it hits people between the eyes, without condemnation, without judgments, just letting God's love and word speak for itself? But it takes a different kind of approach. It's still the word of God that people need. It's the word of God is still what will open people's hearts and minds and change us. The Holy Spirit, of course. So it's still the same core values. But when someone comes to you and they talk about their drug addiction and how they have this baby that the dad left and how they are depressed or maybe using drugs to get through their anxiety, and you are fighting about the color of the carpet, about who's paying for the lights, or about parking, or about the budget, you think people are going to want to come to your church and stay at your church? If the young person out there, and they could be in their 30s, okay, they could be even in their 40s, let's say that millennial crowd, if those young people are dealing with traffic, debt, loneliness, wanting to create and yet needing to pay the bills, and you're just talking about or fighting over what kind of Bible version you're using or over traditional music versus, quote, modern music, do you think that young person is going to stick around? I mean, the sermon might touch their hearts, but nothing else in the room will. And so you have to We have to, as church people, as a people of God, build our techniques and our ministries and our systems around the needs of people today. And I would say, especially these two themes, one of what the music of the day is saying about our young people, as well as mental health issues and all that. And then second, this huge gap that is just growing. It's like the Grand Canyon between what we talk about on Sunday mornings or Wednesday or Tuesdays or Fridays and what people are really dealing with. And I don't think a sermon, now let's get into maybe some of the tactics or how do you then do something about this. I don't think it's a sermon. I don't think it's a ministry. I don't think it's a retreat. I mean, all these things might be a part of the solution, but I think this has to be brought, as I said, to the center stage. I think these are ideas or structures or containers that have to come, I think, from the outskirts, from outside of the church. We have to look at maybe at media, music, at mental health, at counseling, therapy, at maybe go to YouTube and see what is working as methods. Not that we're going to compromise the gospel, not that we're going to talk about other religions or any of that, but to learn from those that are making an impact in young people's lives. And to ask yourself why and how can the church not imitate, not copy. It's not about that anymore. It's not about trying to be cool or any of that, being in the world. It's not about that. It's about how do we learn from those who are helping people. So for example, if my therapist is helping me, wouldn't I as a preacher want to learn from some of his techniques and maybe think through questions and mindsets that a therapist uses to help my people? Of course I would. If you're a teacher and you have a certain way of teaching in your school or at work, and you're teaching Sunday school, wouldn't you want to use similar tactics and techniques on Sunday morning and Sunday school? Of course, right? You're gonna bring both worlds together. Wisdom is wisdom, no matter where it comes from. And so I have a few ideas. One of them is to actually show clips of interviews, let's say, with Mac Miller, and to have a panel up there of young people discussing how that makes them feel. And then maybe I would bring some wisdom into that conversation. And then together we discuss maybe a collective wisdom. I don't mean a collective Bible, like we're all going to just make up our own truth. I'm talking about having all of us encourage each other in front of an audience, as to still have kind of that theatrics, let's just call it, of an event that people can learn from and watch, and maybe they're at home listening to this online, or maybe they're live. So I think that using music clips and videos, and I'm not talking about, oh, we're going to use video in church. Okay, that train has come and gone. That's good if you do, good if you don't. But I'm talking about using those stories, those narratives, however you want to tell it. Maybe you want to just show an Instagram clip. That's where most of these videos are, is on Instagram and Snapchat, to start the discussion and then to bring the Word of God into that. Now, can you do that 52 Sundays a year? I don't know. Is that only done once, twice, three times? I'm not sure. I don't know. I would venture out to say that it needs to be done more than once a year. Maybe not 52 Sundays a year, but I'm not sure. It's something to experiment with. I know this has been done before, but that's one thought. And I think the second thought is to have maybe therapy sessions online. Not online. Well, both, but I meant therapy sessions in the church, like on a Sunday morning or maybe a Sunday night, where, let's say, if it's someone like me who maybe you have some insight into psychology and personality stuff, and God uses you in a way to be able to discern and counsel and be an empath to people. So I would imagine, let's say in my case, I would be up there on a couch with one or two people in front of an audience talking about loss, sexuality, love, loneliness, shame, anxiety, and not as a therapist. This is not a therapy session. That's great, and you can go to your own therapist. And not as a preacher, but as an empath, as a healer, as a spiritual healer, as someone who is there to provide guidance and wisdom to people's real needs, where people are the ones that yes, that feel safe, that feel that this is a non-judgmental environment, and where they can bring their real needs to the table on a microphone in public, so that it's a teaching tool for everyone else in the room, 5, 10, 30, 50 people, 1,000 people, and have and receive the guidance that they need in the moment. You could call that therapy, you can call it counseling, you could call it spiritual direction. It doesn't really matter what you call it. But at the end of the day, it's having people come with their real concerns and to get real answers in the moment, live, streaming it literally live to the world, so that others online, on YouTube, etc., can actually learn from what that person is dealing with. Because what I've noticed in some of the things that I watch that are similar to this is that once you hear one person's story, or when you hear one person's story, you're really hearing your own story. Because these days we are all so connected and so similar. We all deal with the same stuff. Loneliness and traffic and debt and anxiety and depression and fear and concern and shame. And yet you want to hang on to your values of and sexuality and how do you do this? And all of the things that are the real deal that people deal with. And so when you hear one story or one person getting help, then you feel like you're being helped yourself. It's like watching like maybe a live therapy session. But again, this is not done by therapists. And I don't think it can be done by pastors. I think it has to be done by those of us who have a discerning spirit and who are able to give guidance and wisdom, mentorship, coaching, just simply bringing God to people's real situations, live in the moment, with wisdom, with practice, with resources, with restraint, and to be able to really help people. And then to have, I think, the support systems around that event or that moment, so that if someone is suicidal, they can talk to a therapist, or if someone needs to file a restraining order, that someone can help them through that. So you have to have a support system around that. But at the end of the day, I do believe that it's about having real conversations with a sage, with someone, a spiritual director who can guide the conversation, provide boundaries, support, trust, non-judgmental, and to provide the Spirit of God, and to really focus on Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach good news, set captives free, and bring the year of Jubilee. That really is my passion, my heart, and my vision for the church. And I think it's going to connect with young people, especially the hip-hop and current events thoughts and approach. But I think the second one, that's more open-ended, it's going to cut across all ages, all races, all people. And so I need to just thinking here of my next steps in 2019, I need to pull together a group of people that have an interest in this and that can shape this conversation and can really be the evangelist, I guess, if you want to call it, of this movement, because this is not something that everyone will understand. This is something that people, I think, may resist. But I think for the most part, we're so desperate in the church to connect with people that I hope that this will just take off, and we'll have to try it maybe 1, 2, 3, 10 times and see what God does. I want to invite you to be a part of this movement, to be a part of this team that I want to put together to figure this out, to build towards this. We need people at the door. We need music. We need tickets, maybe. We need to stream this online. We need cameras. There's a lot of stuff that goes with this. We need an event. I mean, a hall. Obviously, we can use our church, or we can use an office space, or even someone's house. I feel like this is the time for us to step up. And I have a few friends that I want to reach out to and say, hey, can you help me with this? This is for you. I need your voice. We need your input. And if you are one of those people, you might be outside of the area here in the Long Beach, California area. You might be close by. You might just be someone who wants to pray or give towards this, because we'll need, as I said, food and snacks and drinks and just that kind of stuff. So if you want to give, or if you want to pray for this heart that I have and God's given me, this burden, then email me, trickatdavidtrick.com, or leave me a comment on my website, or you can follow me on Twitter, DavidTrigLA. Thank you so much, guys. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com, or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.